Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is such a sick episode with Crax Toys. We get to see his two first pieces sell out. It's insane. He's killing it, crushing the game. Absolutely killer toy. You're not going to want to miss this. If you want to support Toys on Tap, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. You can go like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It's free for you, but it helps us, and we love you for it. If you want to jump on even more, patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you get the nitty-gritty. That's where you get the episodes of this, and that's where you get the new show, Tapped In Beyond the Shelf, with me, Spanky Stubbs. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. There it is.
What's up, my boy?
Dude, it's so good. Look at them right behind you, right shoulder. They're popping.
I know.
They're so good. Dude, I have so many questions, so much to talk to you about, all kinds of stuff.
Sure, bro.
Pumped. My name's Abe, by the way. I run Toys on Tap. Just interviewing the artists behind the toys, like a Toys on My Life. That's what it is, so... Also, how big is that Stormtrooper?
Dude, he's pretty tall. I think he's like, 4.5 feet, maybe?
God dang.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Dude, I'm pumped. I know you're on a little bit of a time schedule, so let's get this rolling.
Yeah, let's do it, bro. Again, nice to meet you, bro. Nice to officially meet you.
Heck yeah. Welcome to Toys on Tap. Dude, before we do anything, we got to get started with introducing yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
My name is Matt. I am a content creator. I've been creating content since 2017, but really took it serious during the pandemic. Blew up playing Warzone, Call of Duty. I started in the gaming world. I've loved toys my whole life. Literally, I've collected since I was a kid. But it was just like fun little action figures, just like superheroes and little toys like that, plushies. I would see these expensive designer toys and stuff like that kind of growing up. A lot of the YouTubers had them, like the Cause figures and the Bear Bricks, but I never had enough money to afford them, so I was never able to dab into that. But I know, I'm sure you're asking me more questions. But yeah, I'm Matt. I'm a content creator, and I love toys.
I got so many because it seems like you just, like, burst onto the scene with toys, right? Like, feels like almost out of nowhere, which is so crazy. And I love that. I love, especially with what you've got produced. And I told you the packaging, all that was so good. But we have to run it back. We got to talk about your childhood growing up. Tell me about the toys, cartoons, all that stuff growing up with.
Yeah. So growing up, I was just a huge fan of cartoons, Nickelodeon, and just like OG Pixar movies. It was huge for me. Like The Incredibles to this day is still my favorite movie of all time. Just watching different cartoons, Kids Next Door, what was the other one? It's at the top. What was the one? Dude, I literally, Rocket Power. There you go.
There we go.
Was one of my favorite, shows as a kid as well. So just growing up would always watch these shows. I never got into anime. That's one of my goals this year is actually start watching anime for the first time, but I was a huge cartoon fan growing up, SpongeBob, all of it. So, yeah, like I said, I would just always love the fact that I would watch these cartoons and shows, and then I would go to a store, let's say Walmart or Target, and then in the toy section, they would have the toys of these cartoons, right? Like a SpongeBob toy was so crazy to me. Same thing with like Mario and all these like video game characters. When I would see a real life toy, I would just be like, oh my God, this is what I see on TV, but I could feel it, I could grab it, I could keep it. And that's really where the collection started. Another thing that was a part of my collecting was McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yes.
Right? Like I would always go to McDonald's and get Happy Meals and just collect these toys. And I think that's like the original blind box and like the original, like, not gambling, but just like you would always just want to go and see what toy you got. Like off the top of my head, one of my favorite ones were the Nemo collection. When Finding Nemo was out, they just released a bunch of dope little figures, and they were high quality. Like looking back at it, I'm like, those toys were so cool. Another one was the Sonic toys. If you know, you know, whoever's watching, like the Sonic, they had like mini little video games. It was insane, bro. Like the production was crazy, but yeah.
I mean, here's the crazy thing, that like, how old are you?
I'm 26.
I mean, we're not that far apart. We're like
How old are you?
8 years apart. Not
Okay.
that bad. All of the 90s or most of the 90s McDonald's toys and like Happy Meal toys around that era are sculpted by the same guy that did the original Ninja Turtle like action
Wow.
figures. So like the playability of both those and the Happy Meals, yeah, no wonder we loved them.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense.
That's
That's
so crazy. I mean, I haven't had a kid's meal in I don't know however long, but like I can already tell you the toys aren't going to be as good.
Sure, for sure.
Can't
And
do it.
the displays when you would walk into the McDonald's and they would kind of show that weekly or monthly toy was so cool to me. I always wanted to like break in and steal all of them, but obviously I
What's
wasn't gonna get.
okay, so here's craziness. Now that you brought up displays, this is wild. Do you remember? Okay, so the cartoon 101 Dalmatians,
Oh my
obviously,
God.
yeah. So they had at one point produced those as Happy Meal toys, and this crazy feat where they produced all of them.
Insane.
On top of the display in the store, you could buy a display box that
Wow.
you could store them all in. My mom had it when I was younger, and I thought she was so crazy. Now all I want is that.
I know, that's crazy. Yeah, I recently saw a video on YouTube. It was like explaining kind of all the McDonald's Happy Meals toys from like the 90s to the early 2000s. And I saw that. I never saw it in person. I believe I was probably not even born, or like I was like probably one or two, but I saw that they released like 102 toys. That is insane. I hope they bring that back. That's fire.
So it's 102 times what? Like, let's say each toy gets 30, 40, 50,000 produced. And
Oh
they're just shelling it. Let's just going for it.
man.
I mean, you get a little older, right? And toys kind of fall off for us. But yet you end up in content creation and then toy design creation, producing. So does art kind of pick up when toys kind of start to fall off for you?
Yeah, so for me, I kind of lost the love for toys. A part of it was just like you said, growing up. You know, in high school, I kind of shifted from more collecting and turned more into just video games. I would just when Black Ops 2 came out, I was just like addicted to it. A part of it is also sports. I was very into sports in high school, so it's like kind of like the Toy Story when you just let like I don't want to play with you anymore. It was kind of like that. Like I just felt like I was growing up, and I was getting more just into playing sports with my friends and playing video games. That was really like my main passion. And again, here and there, I would see like dope pieces, but I came from a fairly, you know, low class family, so we never had money to spend on art or anything like that. It was more just fun little action figures or things like that. So I never really had the appreciation for, you know, expensive art or expensive art pieces. It wasn't until really I got older where I started to get more introduced into cool pieces such as Bear Bricks and Cos figures. Again, I still couldn't afford it, but I at least knew it existed. My whole life, I thought just toys were for little kids, and like plushies and all that were just like a little kid thing. And like I said, yeah, I just started seeing like a lot of my favorite YouTubers having these dope art pieces, like I said, like art figures or toys. And I had a couple friends who also were artists. They would go to my church back home in Miami, and they would like make these really cool art pieces, like traditional art, you know, like they would paint it and they would do it, and I would really admire it. But yeah, basically that's kind of how I shifted away from my love for toys as a kid, was I just got distracted with toys and all that. But I guess I could tell you when I got back into it, but I don't know if you have a follow-up
I
question.
mean, yeah, I want to hear that. Like, the hard part is we get distracted by like cause figures and stuff. Of course, I don't have any cause figures behind me. I can't afford those. I don't, he hasn't been on the show. The closest I've gotten is like that Kozik piece right there. And that's not even that close to cause. And I mean, so it's crazy. So yeah, kind of walk me into approaching what it looks like to get back into toy. Like, what's the toy that you saw that you were like,
Yeah.
Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Still, we should run like it is Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
The newest kaiju is about to stomp its way onto the scene.
What's that smell?
Meet Barfy. The sludge-spewing kaiju inspired by the lizard we all know and love. Coming from the brain of Bootleg Toy Co. and brought to life by Toys on Tap. This monstrosity will come in at a massive 6 inches in 3 styles. 1 blank white and 2 colorways exclusive to Toys on Tap. The first colorway is Barfy's natural colors. And the second is... That's right, Reptar colorway.
Now let's entertain them!
This monstrosity will arrive in a clear box with a backer that doubles as a backdrop for your figure. Barfy arrives on the scene soon. You don't want to miss this, but remember, stay out of the way of the sludge.
Okay, I'm in. This is it.
Okay, yeah. So I moved to LA, just a quick story, just so you kind of understand everything. I moved from Miami to LA 2 years ago, and I moved here for production with this gaming organization called FaZe Clan. Basically, I would just help with producing content for them, right? And I was just doing all that, working with them, making my own content. And then one of the people that work at FaZe, one day out of nowhere, they just showed me they had a first edition Charizard Pokemon card, right? I was like, oh my God. Like, that also brought me back. I forgot to mention that. As a kid, I loved Pokemon cards. So I was like, oh my God, like, I missed that feeling of collecting something or opening something and keeping it and preserving it. I had a binder as a kid full of Pokemon cards with my brother, and like, I think we traded it for like a PS2. And now those cards are probably worth hundreds of thousands, who knows? But that kind of sparked that love of my OG creator as a kid. And then what I did was I actually went to this store in LA. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Frankensons.
Yeah.
Like the biggest or one of the biggest collector freaking shows or stores. It's enormous. It's this huge warehouse. And I originally had gone to look at Pokemon cards. And when I walk in, I start seeing all these toys. And I'm talking like vintage toys to modern day just art figures and everything. And I was like, wait, this is like my place. I forgot that I loved this feeling of collecting. So obviously, you know, I bought a couple Pokemon cards and stuff like that, but I just kept kind of walking through all the aisles. And specifically what really sparked my love for just toys was when I saw Bear Brick. You could kind of see him. He's the Elmo Bear Brick.
Oh,
right here.
He's Matt. Is that the 1000% one?
It's 1000%. So again, growing up, I always wanted a Bear Brick. I couldn't afford it. And, you know, thank God being in LA and kind of grinding and working, I had a little more money than I had when I was growing up. So I was able to invest or just buy my first ever expensive piece. And it was actually that Bear Brick.
I like that you say invest, dude. Invest is such a good way to describe.
It makes you feel a little better when you spend a lot of money on toys, when you say you invested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first piece that really sparked it, and then it started building up, right? I found this Stormtrooper at another vintage store in LA. I forgot the name of it, but it's called Blast from the Past. So it's a bunch of vintage toys, and I found him in the entrance, and they weren't even selling it. And then I just asked, and I think they sold it to me for like $300. Which probably I got scammed, but at the time, I just wanted a life-size. I really love big, tall toys. I think it's so cool. It's unique. Everyone could get a small little toy. But I think when you have a big piece, it kind of – pause. When you have a big toy, you could kind of flaunt it and kind of be like, yeah, like, you know, I got a big boy, you know?
Dude, I'm going to clip it. So that when you got a big piece, clip. Done. You heard what he said. I got to ask you – so you work with a company called FaZe.
Yeah.
I've seen that logo. Is that the same one that partners with Ghost, the FaZe Pop?
Yeah. So okay. they had They had a collection with Ghost. They actually have their own Bear Brick.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, which I actually have it in my living room. But yeah, I don't work with them anymore. I worked with them for 2 years. I recently stopped working with them just to really focus on my brand, my new toy brand, which we'll get into. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's a great flavor. I love the Ghost. Yeah, Ben from 3D Retro does all the Bear Brick stuff. And so, I mean, they just recently moved out to Vegas, I think. And like their shop is just 1,000% Bear Bricks everywhere. It's wild. I never got into Bear Bricks, not because like, they're not great, not because what I just never did. And I don't know what it was, but they're the 1,000%. If there was a time to get into it, it's with those ones.
Yes. They're so cool. I love it. And yeah, shout out to Ben from 3D Retro. I met them for the first time at Designer Con. I just went in November. And
that's crazy. We could have passed each other. I was just there.
We probably did, bro. We for sure probably did.
That's wild.
Yeah, I was just new to it. Like, I will say, again, we'll get into it, but I'm kind of new to this world of like real designer toys. Like I'm learning as we go, even though I have my own. I'm kind of a rookie, you know. Like I was walking through that designer con and I was like, wow, I got a lot to learn. Like I'm not too familiar with all a lot of people were using lingo and different things that I was like, whoa, like I don't understand it. But yeah, I mean, I love it, bro.
Let's talk it out right here. Like I love designer con. Yeah. The podcast has been running for 4 years now, and like it started because I found artists that were doing this, and I started making resin toys, and then it moved on to all kinds of stuff. And like, I don't know, we're at like 200 and something interviews of just people in this scene. And it's wild, from like Sifubi and resin and designer and all the things you can think about. So I'm pumped that you went. Like, where'd you kind of at Designer Con, where were you kind of hanging out at, or were you?
Oh, so I went every single day. I just walked around, bro. I was just taking it all in. I made a video. It was like a TikTok or a reel that like every toy that I bought. I think I spent like over 1,000, which is funny because I said like, I'm just going to go and look. I'm not going to spend. And then obviously I had to.
Yeah.
I love the toys that I bought there. I met so many cool people. Even met a couple like people overseas, like people that, you know, sell toys in China and Japan. And I was like, wait, this is really cool. I'm a huge fan of Japan, their culture, the toys over there. Don't get me started on how much money I've spent on toys in Japan. I went twice last year. And oh my God, it's my favorite.
Dude, it's rad. Sunguts is my favorite artist from Japan. Like rocks the house on his Sifubi stuff. He comes over Japan, like all the toys that I love from Japan are in those like gotcha machines, those little things. And Bandai now has these, I don't even know how to describe how sick they are, like fully articulated movable tortoises and turtles that are fully detailed and everything for like $5.
Oh, that's crazy.
But when you want to get them here, it's like $30. Of course I don't have any of them because of that.
Yeah,
but that is wild. Yeah, Designer Con is crazy because you're walking around and like you're near Metacom, and then all of a sudden you show up and you're near Mondo, and then you look up again and you're near the resin alley where all these people are doing like homemade stuff. And
yes,
it's crazy how many different people are there.
Yeah, I loved it, bro. It was it showed me the differences in just collecting, right? Like there's the high end, you know, there was like an Astro Boy that looked insane. He was like white and black, and he was like, and then you're like, oh my God, I really want this. And then you go to like the back, and I met these really cool people. They were all on the older side, and they had this little, it was like a bird that was a camera. They were like, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, they were so weird, but like in the night, like they were, so I said hi to them and I was like, cause I like stopping by every single little station and kind of talking to the people. Even if I'm not going to buy anything, I always just, I feel kind of bad if I see like an empty where they're just sitting there. So at least I can do is at least talk to them and kind of hear out what they're selling. So this is a funny story. I approached these people. They're like an older couple, I think. And I was like, what are you guys selling? And they just, I'm not even kidding, for probably 10 minutes. And I feel like to this day, it was still a bit or like a funny, they were, I thought they were recording me, but they basically were trying to convince me that every single pigeon is a spy camera.
Oh, yeah. Birds aren't real.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was them, right? And I was like waiting for them to be like, just kidding, like laughing, but they never did. And if they were kidding, it's amazing because they never said they were. And I loved it. It was like an experience, but
yeah, definitely a bit. You see the stickers all through San Diego. Oh, really? Yeah. Like, and their big thing, one of the arguments is like, have you ever seen a baby pigeon? And of course everyone's like, no, I've never seen one. And they're like, oh, cause it's a camera.
That's good. I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool that you got to be there. I mean, it sets the problem with going once is it sets you up to go every year.
Oh yeah. I'm going forever.
And now and you're like kind of morphing into something else with Crax Toys, right? I'm saying that correctly, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, I mean, you're doing the path that a lot of us do. Like we see a toy, we're like, ah, I want to collect that. Wait, how easy is it to make it? And then you make it and you're like, I don't know if I want to collect. Now I'm going to sell.
Yeah.
It's a wild transition, but it's so gratifying to be there and do that.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you go there, we're at this weird timeline where do you go to, you start working at FaZe 2 years later, you're kind of out, but doing this stuff. So where are we at in all of a sudden, hey, I want to make a toy. Where do we fall?
Okay. So this is, April, 2024.
Right. And that toy came out so fast then. That's so wild.
Yeah, I know. So April 2024 comes around and I'm sitting with my wife on like in the living room and we're just talking. And again, I've been doing content for years. I'm working with FaZe Clan and we've always wanted to create something, whether it's just like a clothing brand or something. I've done merch before, like the standard, like you're a gamer influencer and you create merch with your name on it.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 182. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsor Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters.
And it performed fairly well. People enjoyed it. It was like a fun community thing. But I was just talking to my wife. And I'm like, man, like I want to start something, whether it's a brand of anything. It could be a production company. It could be a social media marketing company. Like I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to create something that was bigger than myself, bigger than just being a TikToker and creating content. So yeah, we were just sitting there in the living room and I looked to my right and I used to have this little stand. Small little white like 3D printed stand. I forgot where we bought it, but it was like a little white stand to put your keys, and it just had little shoes. It had little white shoes, and again, it'll make more sense when I show you. But it basically had little white shoes, and it's just like a little plate kind of. Mm-hmm. And basically, I had a basketball, and I had placed it on top of it just because I didn't want it rolling around the floor. And then I look at it, and then I was like, "Oh my god, what if I create a collectible toy that looks like that?" Right? So it was just a basketball with 2 feet. So my original idea was to create like a really dope creature. So I wanted to create like a big headed creature with 2 little feet, right? I have sketches of it, like I'll send you all this if you want to add it.
Absolutely.
But the sketches are horrendous, bro. Like I don't want to waste time looking for it, but bro, they were like literally like because I'm not an artist, right? Like when I say I'm not an artist, I mean like I don't have the skills to draw. I'm very creative. Like if I could somehow translate what's on my brain onto paper, oh my god, I would create beautiful art with my hands, but I can't. God didn't bless me with that, but he did bless me with the creativity of it. So I started just kind of sketching my idea and I was like, all right, it's April, like how do you even start? I've bought a couple toys here and there, but I'm like, you know, obviously Pokemon could create this huge Gengar, but like how do they do it and how do I do it? And that started that process. I always had in my idea the name Crax, C-R-A-X, just because my content name is Matt Crax. M-A-T-C-R-A-C-K-Z. It's not with an X, but I just thought it's the same sound, cracks, but with an X, and it's four letters. It looks clean. I originally thought it would be a clothing brand, but I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. We have to call this toy brand Cracks Toys and create the character and name him Cracks. Again, I just started going through like this little sketching phase, and thankfully I had a buddy who does graphic design, hopped on a call with him and kind of gave him my idea, gave him all my inspiration. It was Kids Next Door, South Park, like I said earlier, Rocket Power. And I was basically just guiding him on a Zoom call as he's just sketching on his iPad. And we deleted like 20 versions. And I was like, I want him to have a big head and a big smile. Like, that's what I think will look cool. We came up with this 3D version. The original one looked kind of like Gengar. He was just a big circle with a big smile. And then I was like, I feel like he needs to have more personality. Let's add a body to him. So we kind of made him like a stonky little character. And boom, we made a sketch of this awesome character. Again, I could send you all of this. And once we had this sketch, I was like, all right, how the hell do we turn this into 3D? How do we turn this into a real toy? This is actually very important. Whoever is watching this and is trying to get into toy production, hopefully you don't get scammed or get, you know, got, like a lot of people say, but yeah. Bro, I got scammed.
Wait. I have a question that goes along with that then. Okay. So, okay, don't give away factory information, none of that stuff. Keep all that.
Yeah.
When you first start, I mean, you get scammed, and we're going to talk, I got to hear about that because that's bonkers. Are you just searching on Alibaba? You just reaching out to people? How'd you find it?
For sure. It was – so I was in this position where I had no idea what to do. And I basically met somebody at Frankincense, the store that I told you. This is not the guy who scammed me, but he's an awesome guy. I just asked him if he knows anybody that makes toys. I was like, do you know anybody? He's like, oh, yeah, I got a buddy. I'm not going to say where he lives. I got a buddy down somewhere. I'll connect you with him and he will help you go through the whole process of creating a toy. Hop on the call with this guy. Again, I'm like a young guy that has no idea how to make toys. This guy's an older gentleman that, you know, I feel like he probably just saw an opportunity just for a quick bag. He knew I was a content creator. He probably assumed I had a lot of money. You could just tell he was just trying to sell me this dream. He's like, I got you. I know everything. I got 3D artists. I got manufacturers that work for big companies, and these people make all the biggest toys you've ever seen.
The middle guy.
He's the middle guy. And he said, my one rule is I don't share any of my manufacturers. Like, I will talk to them for you.
Okay.
That was my first red flag. But again, I have no idea how to do this. There's not much content on it. Like, you could find a couple videos, but really, like, it's kind of niche. Like, it's kind of like a, if you know, you know. Like, I'm sure I could have dug deeper, but again, I just wanted to hear somebody, and he kind of sold me this dream. Whatever, I sent him my sketches that I had created with my friend, and he's like, oh, this is such a sick toy. Like, oh, I got you, bro. I'm gonna talk to my 3D artist. Send me $5,000, and it was like something like, yeah, send me $5,000, and I'll like create the toy for you. I'll 3D print it. And I was like, damn, $5,000. I think I don't remember. It was somewhere. I think I lowered it somewhere to like $3,000 or something. But still, like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I just trusted him. So I sent him the money. Brother, if I show you the renders that this guy sent me, like, and by the way, it was probably like 3 weeks later. It was disgusting. It looked like a, oh my God, I'm going to send you pictures because I have shown it on my YouTube before. It was horrendous. At one point, I legit told myself, I'm not going to start a toy brand because this is so ugly. It looks like if you grab the piece of gum and try to create, or with like Play-Doh, and you're like, all right, create a toy with a big smile. That's how it looked. It was so ugly. I literally go on Instagram. I'm not going to say who, but I found a 3D artist by just searching like 3D animator, 3D toy artist.
Wait, I might know him though. Is there like, can I bleep it out?
No, he's not an artist. It's a brand.
Oh, okay.
So they're a brand who create 3D toys from 2D images.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like there's multiple brands that do this, but I have seen like an ad of them, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. Basically, their whole thing is that they say you send them a 2D image, they turn it into 3D, mm-hmm. and they can even 3D print it for you and send it to you. Their business model is not about a toy. It's more like, oh, I want a 3D version of myself. Like,
send yeah, you it's just prototyping. Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah, like it just seemed like a fun thing, but I was like desperate, and I was like, YOLO. I hit them up, and they're like, oh, yeah, we could print it. We could create a 3D version. We could print it. We could paint it. Just send us $400. And I was like, this other guy just charged me $5K for only the 3D animation. By the way, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And he said he'll 3D print something, but he won't even paint it. So I just was going to get a white 3D printed piece of the toy. Mind you, this brand just goes, hey, just pay us $400 and we'll send you a 3D printed prototype. And I'm like, all right, bet. Like, that's a lot less than this guy. They sent it to me in one day. And when I tell you, it was the most beautiful 3D, like, they literally created my sketch into 3D. That's all I needed, right? And I was like, oh, my God. I remember I sent that 3D to the guy who scammed me. And he freaked out. He was like, who did this? Tell me who is this. Like, this is the best design I've ever seen. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking he's going to be like, hey, man, I'll send you some money back. Like, I just basically scammed you. He never sent me the money back. He just said, like, good luck. Sorry it didn't work out. And he sent me, like, a 3-inch printed toy of the with the file that this other brand made me. So it wasn't even his guy. He just asked me to, like, he's like, can you send me this file? I sent it to him.
And you still sent him the file.
Well, yeah, because I wanted to kind of prove to him that, like, what he was giving me was horrible. You know what I mean? So he sent me this little – I still have it. It's like a tiny little white 3D printed version of Cracks and never spoke to him again. But, again, this started my journey. I learned – so for a lot of people that are watching – and I'm sure maybe even people who already have toy brands, you've probably been through it too. Like, you've probably done bad decisions, but I learned the hard way. After that, I was like, all right, I got to actually lock in and not trust other people, do everything myself. From that point on is when I took over and I was like, you know what? Like, let's do this. So had a 3D version of the toy. And that's when I was like, all right, let's start looking for manufacturers, whatever. And yes, Alibaba was like the first spot that I looked. And I found great people. Like, surprisingly, I at least didn't think I could actually find like great toy manufacturers, but there actually are great ones. And there's people who are willing to work with you. Now, I will say I may have an advantage or some sort of, I don't know, maybe it's an advantage depending on how you see it. But, a lot of the times they see that I'm a well-known content creator, so they want to give me the best prices. Maybe somebody with less following, maybe they'll charge them more. I don't know, but I'm just speaking from my personal experience. They do their studying. They search the name of the toy and they kind of are like, oh, we see you're a content creator. We're willing to offer you a cheaper price in exchange for blank, like a shout out or something like that. Right. So that started it. This is a funny story as well. I went with the first one that I found. It was super cheap to make it. I didn't even know the difference between a resin or a vinyl toy. That's how new I was. They're like, hey, yeah, we make resin toys. We'll give you whatever you want. Send us the file. I think I paid like $700 for a sample. I'm going to show you this. Just
yeah, yeah, I'm here for it. This is what this is for.
All right, so this is the technically one of the first samples that I ever received, right? So it gets it's a little bright.
Sorry. Not bad at all for a sample.
Right, but
did it break in the box?
Yeah, this is how I opened it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that terrified me. This was my first introduction to resin toys, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm terrified." To this day, I still get scared. I'm not against resin toys anymore because, again, I've seen beautiful pieces now. But at the time, I'm new to this, so. My first ever sample gets to me like this. I lost all hope. I was like, I'm not doing resin. And I got scared. So either it was cheap resin or they just didn't package it correctly. I'm sure you know more about that.
Yeah. I mean, with samples, it's like we're just getting this in, out the door, just so we can like show paint and scale and stuff.
Yeah.
Like as far as material, if it doesn't have any moving parts, it probably doesn't matter as much to the factory.
Exactly. Yeah. So, whatever that happened, and I just got like so discouraged. But that was one of the first steps that happened to me. I was like, oh my God, no way my first sample gets broken. I had received a 3D printed sample, which is like my first technically real sample. It looked awesome. I fell in love with it. But, you know, I've always heard that vinyl is like the most common one and it's like smooth. And I just felt like it, for me at least, the quality of a vinyl toy is more appealing to me. Like it just feels smooth and it kind of like every toy looks the same. And something about vinyl that I fell in love with. So I decided to do the vinyl route. And mind you, while I'm doing this, no one knows that I'm dropping a toy. So it was very scary when I started hearing all these prices of vinyl mold costs and like how expensive it really is to make these toys. I was like, oh my God, like I'm about to spend a lot of money without not one person on earth knowing that I'm even creating this. So a part of it was a shot in with faith. It was just like into the blind. Like I'm just, let's see what happens. I'm going to spend this money. But I just said, YOLO, let's do it. From April, I think I decided like to fully start and like to actually like pay for manufacturing. I think it was like around August. It was when I fully, yeah, it was August, because August is when I actually quit my job at FaZe. And I said, I'm going to go head in on just content creation and building this new brand. And as soon as that happened, I just sent the deposit to my manufacturer and they started creating the mold. Now, one thing I had no idea was how long it takes to create these toys, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The hardest, I would say arguably, it's like one of the hardest parts for someone who's impatient like me. Like I have TikTok brain, right? Like you just scroll and you get satisfied. So this new brand and just toy production in general has really taught me how to be patient and how to trust the process and really just wait. And like, bro, I remember paying for it and I'm just like, all right, when do I see these toys? And then they're like, oh, it's 45 days.
Yeah.
And then it's like 60 day production. Oh, by the way, if you send it on ship, it's 25 to 35 days. I was like, bro, this is like 100 days. But again, I've learned now to definitely plan with time. But at the time I was just like, I literally just had started production and my birthday is September 1st. And, I actually had released my first ever merch, like the gaming merch I told you earlier, I released it on September 1st in like 2021, I think. So I said, all right, it's September 1st, 2024. I'm going to drop my toy. My first ever toy. So probably like a month before, I would say like the whole month of August was my first ever promotion for it. So I have a podcast with my friend Faye Swag. He's a Warzone content creator. And I announced it on that podcast for the first ever time. And that started creating curiosity. Then on my, you know, social medias, I just started saying, all right, guys, I'm starting my own toy. And a lot of people were confused. A lot of people thought it was like a Funko Pop or, you know, like a small little action figure for kids. Like no one really understands the word toy, which I get it. Obviously a toy is technically a little, you know, a little toy. It comes with the growing pains of starting a brand. A lot of it was just, a lot of people were confused what I was doing.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have an engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray,
we're saved, DOV2.
Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
I think the way I will give myself credit, I think a part of the success of Crax is the way that I market it. Mm-hmm. I create a hype for it. I don't give it all at once. And the reason I do that is because I've learned through content creation, different marketing ways and just ways that you can kind of hype things up whether it's, I'm a huge fan of movies as well, and just I've studied the way they do trailers and give you little bits and pieces and little teasers and here and there, but it's not until you get the reveal where the hype comes and then the movie comes out, and that's when you show up, right? So I've kind of used a bunch of things that I've been learning in social media, and I've applied it all towards my toy. Basically, I just started hyping up, saying that like no one knew how the toy looked. I just said, I'm starting a toy. So I just used that hype, and I was like, how does the toy look? I started creating these small little promo pieces around LA where like the Cracks logo spray painted around very popular LA monuments, whether it's just like an LA sign and it just says Cracks over it. And then finally, through animation, I found this amazing animator. He actually created my first ever animation piece. I don't work with him anymore, but we're on good terms. I just found someone better, respectfully. But the first one was super dope. The first animation was like him. This is the like official, you know, little Cracks toy. He has a big white head, big smile. This X in the back is like his like iconic X just for Cracks. I decided to go with the orange and blue just because I thought it looked the most appealing to the eye. I was very into cinematography, and there's this theory that the combination of orange and teal is one of the most like satisfying combinations you could do in film. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to apply my old love for film and just create a combination with orange and teal. But yeah, he has like an oversized fit. And then I guess the joke of it is that his booty cheeks are out.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of a play in the name, like Cracks, butt crack. That was actually not the intention of it. Like Cracks has been, you know, in my mind for years, but it actually makes so much sense. His butt is out and the name Cracks Toys, right? So I think it's perfect. And yeah, you could see a lot of the inspirations from the toys that I had said. From the cartoons that I had said. Obviously, you know, the orange hoodie, a lot of people said it reminded them of South Park. Is it Kenny? I think is his name with the hoodie. But just like the oversized pants as it's like drooping and everything.
It's got like hip hop breathed into it.
Yes, yes, yes. I wanted him to be very cool, but also like mischievous and in a way also cute.
Yeah.
So that's why we created like the big head. So we came up with this. I fell in love with it. We created the animation to reveal it. Basically, he's just spray painting. Since we were showing spray paints of the Cracks logo in different spots, basically the joke or the point of it was that he was the one doing it. So then he got revealed for the first time, and people fell in love with it. People were commenting like, oh, my God, he's so cool. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people were confused. Again, I'm a content creator that does gaming and movie content. Like if you really look at him, this has nothing to do with me. Like he doesn't have curly hair. He has nothing to do with movies, but that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted an original character that just like was his own entity. And like, people don't see him and think, oh, that's Matt Cracks' toy. People see him and just say, that's Cracks. You know, that's a Cracks toy. So that was my goal for it. And yeah, we dropped that animation. And I dropped the pre-order. I spoke to a couple people now that I started learning. I spoke to a lot of people in the art world and the toy world, and they recommended, since it's your first drop, do a pre-order because then you'll know how many toys you want, right? So I was like, okay, you know, my goal was always 250, but I was like worried that
like, it might be less. Giant goal, by the way. Giant goal.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. It was I reached that point because I was like, all right, I got a million followers on TikTok, like at least 250 could buy one, right? Like, it was I think it was one of those things where I actually, in my mind, I thought 250 was doable until we started getting closer to the pre-order. I started doubting it. Like the doubts start coming and you're like, wait, what if like five people buy it? Mm-hmm. And I think a part of that is the price point. The original Cracks toy cost $150. It's a 10-inch vinyl toy. So it's pretty pricey, right? For somebody who doesn't know about toys. For people who collect toys, $150 is fairly common. That's a fairly common price range. But my audience is not toy collectors. My audience are gamers, movie fans. So that was my biggest fear, is like, how will I translate my audience to buying a toy? But yeah, we did the math, we did everything, included all the costs and everything, and we thought 150 was a very fair price point.
Absolutely.
For sure. And yeah, so we dropped it and the pre-order went absolutely insane. It sold, we sold 250 toys in 24 hours. So I was like, this is insane. Like, this is my dream come true. I cried. I went through the whole thing. And that was the hard part because it was September 2nd. And then I asked my manufacturer, like, hey, sold out. And she's like, oh, nice. Congrats. Yeah, the toys get to you November. So I was like, wait. You're telling me I got to find a way to make people wait for 2 months without like refunds and without people getting antsy. It's my first ever drop. Like, it's my first ever product. So I was like so scared. Thank God. I mean, I'm so thankful for my community and just the supporters of Cracks. Not one person asked for a refund. Not one person DM'd me like angry. Most people were just like, hey, you got any updates? And that's one of my biggest things is like, I try to answer to every DM of people asking anything about Cracks. Now it's grown to a point, you know, that's getting crazy. At this point, I probably had 300 followers on the account. We sold 250, but I'll say those 250 were, a lot of them were just friends and like family. Those are a lot of friends, but what I mean by that is like, most of them were LA friends and content creator friends that kind of like supported me and reposted my toy. So I will say the first 250 that sold was a bit inflated. It was like, it sounds great, but I'm humble enough in my mind to know that it wasn't just cause it was like a crazy or cool toy. I also know that it was through the help of a lot of my friends that have a lot of influence. Friends with hundreds of thousands of followers all reposted this toy and really gave me my flowers and shouted me out. And I think that helped a lot drive the initial audience to that first drop, right? November comes around, finally we receive these toys, and now it's time to pack all of them. One of the unique things that obviously toys I've done in the past, but I think that kind of makes us stand out is that we number every single toy. Mm-hmm. And it's handwritten. There's a certificate of authenticity, and the design of the whole toy is very intentional. The whole packaging and everything is very like, you know, creative. And shout out my buddy Edwin. He's still on the team. He's our graphic designer. He helps design just the packaging, and he literally translates my brain into paper. Like I said, I have a lot of ideas. I just, like I said, I don't have the skills to do it myself, but thank God for other people's talents that were able to do it. So yeah, people start receiving these toys, and that's when I realized that I want to do this forever, was when people received it. Because a lot of people can pre-order it just to support, you know, like, oh man, you know, Matt Crax is, he did funny videos in Warzone back in 2020. Let me support this guy and buy his new toy. I think the hard part is people actually liking your product, supporting it, and being willing to buy your second drop or your third drop or your fourth drop. So that's kind of where I stood at that point. So whatever, we shipped them out, and oh my God, the love and support that we received on social media was so crazy. Everybody posting unboxing videos, tagging us on their stories, and that started bringing in a influx of just new followers. People are like, wait, what is this? This toy is very cool. So that leads us to the second design. Which to this day is still, we've only dropped two, so we're still babies in the industry. But I've always wanted to create a Spider-Man inspired toy. Spider-Man is my favorite superhero of all time. And I thought to myself, and I'm just being fully transparent on this pod, I thought to myself, we're small enough.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. To not get banned or like sued.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was like, we're small enough to the point where this is my second design. Like I could mess around and push the boundaries slightly. Thankfully, I did study and wanted to make sure. One of the inspirations, not behind the design of the toy, but just the way that now I approach toy production is Ron English.
Oh, yeah. Right? I just talked to him like a couple days ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah,
cool guy.
Yeah. I met him at DesignerCon, actually. And side note, a lot of people say that our toys are similar and that I'm copying him. I swear to you guys, I did not even know who Ron English was until DesignerCon, or until I started seeing the comments saying that my toy is a Ron English ripoff. If you really look at them side by side, like,
I mean, maybe, right? Like, I've seen all his work. I'm looking at both your figures right there. Maybe, right? Yeah. Yeah. But you got to, like, really stretch it.
Yeah, if anything, that's a compliment as well, right? Like,
right.
Thank you guys for saying that. But, yeah, I mean, maybe I would be brutally honest if I actually did get his design and get inspired by it. But I genuinely had no idea. When I saw some of his toys, once I started seeing the comments, I'm like, oh, I feel like I've seen these before, like the skull mouth and, like, you know, the Mario with the skull mouth. So that was really cool. But I was just bringing that side note of a bunch of hate comments that I randomly get sometimes. But yeah, besides that, like I said, I started studying because I've seen him do The Simpsons, Mario, Hulk, you know, do a bunch of art pieces that contain other IPs. And I'm sure I don't know if he's spoken about it or spoke about it with you, but one of his biggest things that he fights for or that he represents is parody laws. And that's what he uses a lot with his kind of that's how he defends himself against these big brands. And he I think he said this on an article where he said, if you look at my toy, you have to ask yourself, would the original IP do what's going on in this toy or do what's going on in this art piece? Kind of like the Marlboro, like the is it cigars or cigarettes? He did like this promo,
yeah,
baby camo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that honestly, like, really, that was one of the biggest, like, pushing points for me to release this second design, because it's not like, it is a Spider-Man inspired toy, but like, if you really look at it, like, would Spider-Man have this big head? Would he have this huge smile? Would he have his booty cheeks out? You know, the answer is obviously no. So that's kind of what gave me the confidence to be like, you know what, like, let's release this toy. We're a new brand. I understand, trust me, I understand who Marvel is and who Disney is. But yeah, I think we are protected by parody law. I have spoken with, you know, different lawyers and stuff just in case, like, I just wanted to get like a second opinion. And, you know, I've spoken to like two of them, and both of them have said, like, of course they could try to intimidate with cease and desists and stuff like that. But if it really were to go down, yeah, I mean, the toy has the colorway, but no one is saying this and saying like, oh, this is an official Marvel piece. You know, like, his toy's out. He is an original toy at the end of the day with his big smile and big head. But yeah, basically, we designed this toy. I said, it's always been my dream to make a Spider-Man toy. And I dropped it. We designed the same process like I told you. Funny enough, I actually dropped it right after DesignerCon. And this one went even crazier. We sold 250 in 9 hours, which was a dream come true as well. And this one felt way more satisfying because it was a whole new audience this time. It was like, it wasn't my fans or people who watch me, right? It was like collectors, like legit, like comic collectors and Spider-Man fans and just people who love like superheroes and actual toy collectors. They all supported this drop. And that's when I realized, like, all right, we have something really special here. And the cool part is that when this toy sold out, I got so many DMs saying, like, will you ever restock the original toy? And that's kind of what showed me, like, all right, like, people, because one of my fears was also like, damn, are people only buying this because it looks like Spider-Man? Like, can people actually support another OG cracks drop or an original design? And I guess those are some of the fears that you go through as a toy creator is, will they support the next drop? That's always like my biggest fear, or like, that's always in the back of my mind, right? Like, will they support my third one? Will they support my fourth one? Thankfully, we have a pretty good track record. Our first two toys have sold out. Thank God. I'm so thankful and grateful for everybody who has supported. And we're working on a bunch of future designs, but as of today, that's where we stand. We sold that on both drops. I actually did a small restock for the Spidey Cracks just because we released the first edition, first 250, and the amount of DMs that I got asking me to restock was actually absurd, to the point where I'm like, I got to make a business decision here. I could either just never drop it or drop a restock to be able to fund all our future projects. So anyone who supports Crax, I didn't want them to feel like, oh, like I bought this first edition toy. Why are you restocking it? Because I know how that feels. I've been there. But to be honest, I announced the restock and everybody who bought the toy already was super supportive. I even spoke to a couple of people and I was like, is this weird? Like, are you mad that I restocked? And they're like, no, man, like we want the brand to grow. Like we support anything you do. And what's cool is the people who bought the first 250 have the first edition sticker. It's a gold sticker. We won't put those on the restock. But yeah, that's basically, I know I'm rambling right now. I'm so sorry, but I'm just
that's perfect.
Through our whole thing. So that's where we're at right now. We just restocked this bad boy and it's going absolutely amazing. It's literally about to sell out again. So yeah, I'm grateful. I can't wait for the next future drops. They're going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's dope. So currently I help other creators like make their toys and I like find factories and do all that stuff. And it's because I have had toys made and I'm in that world as well. And so it's just the waiting game is crazy. The like long lead time is crazy. I have one coming that should be shipped like any day now. And it's like so much.
That's the best part.
Yeah. And so much goes into it. And then like trying to do a launch of the toy and trying to like figure out which creators you're going to send it to so they can talk, like all kinds of stuff. And so, dude, it's so sick to see how it's like all unraveling for you. And like, it's a sick piece. I think you're encroaching. My favorite thing about this story is that you're encroaching some of the things that we all encroach starting out. Yeah. One of the things is like copyright law. Like though they say, oh, if you change it 30%, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's like Disney has taken down way better or bigger prey than me, so they could really kill me. And so like working through those types of things, it's really hard to look at a toy and say like, oh, but like this is the percentage.
Yeah.
But you took the gamble and it paid off.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's dope that this is like where you're at and where it's at. So here's the question, the big question that most artists get when they're on this podcast. What's next?
Oh man. All right. Should I leak?
Just a little, like not a whole idea, just like a little idea. Don't go crazy.
No, you're good. So I'll say this right now, we're working on probably over 8 designs. We are just because of, I didn't reach this part, but I'll say this really fast. Recently I've made content on this toy. I created my own separate TikTok called Crax Toys, and I just started using this account to be transparent and kind of like show people the behind the scenes of being a toy collector. Whoever's watching this and creates toys, there's no one really making content like showing your face and talking to the camera and being transparent and kind of getting your reaction of the good and the bad. And I would recommend that for everybody. Everybody should be making content on their toys, on their art, not just an iPhone video of your toy. Everybody does that. You guys could do more than that. Learn how to talk to a camera, how to promote yourself, show them who's behind the camera, who's behind the toy, right? Like, we've all seen really dope toys, but I think it makes it more special when you get to learn about the person behind it, their inspirations. And I that's why I love this podcast, and that's why I agree to be on it. It's very rare for a platform to be, you know, talking about toy production or just toys in general. And when you reached out, I was like, dude, this is so cool. Like, full transparency, I've been invited on multiple podcasts. Like I said, I have my own podcast. And honestly, I usually deny them. And that's not like a prideful thing. It's just, it just doesn't seem worth it. Like, it seems like these people will just try to talk about drama or try to clickbait or you know, be disingenuous. But as soon as you reached out, I was like, oh, this is sick. This is something I could hop on and talk about toys, because it's rare. Like, no one really does toy content. So I just wanted to give you your flowers, brother. Congrats on your pod. 200.
Thanks.
insane. Wait, how many? 200 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Is this the 200th?
No. I think I'm at like 212. So wow. Just pushing. Okay. Yeah.
Insane, brother. Again, congrats. That's amazing. I love what you're doing. I'll definitely be supporting. And this is, like I said, this is Cracks Toys' first ever podcast. So really dope. Thank you for having me. But like I said, content and social media is, bro, like people, I can't stress it enough. Toy creators, art creators, any brand, please make content on your brand, on your product, and try to think outside the box. I've been making content on TikTok on Cracks Toys for probably like a month or two. And in the last month, we've gotten like almost 4 million total views. 4 million eyeballs have seen the word Cracks Toys, have seen my toys. That doesn't translate to 4 million people buying it. But, you know, it's all eyes are all attention, could be considered good attention. And it, you can use it, right? You could use it. The more people that recognize your brand will benefit you in the long run. And so recently, you know, social media has for some reason just been going crazy. A lot of people posted unboxing videos of Spidey Cracks, and bro, like even just regular iPhone video, and these videos have like millions of views with like hundreds of thousands of likes saying like, where'd you buy this? I need this toy now. And the amount of creative people that have made unboxing videos. Somebody made an unboxing video where when they unboxed it, they turned into Bully Maguire. You know Bully Maguire from Spider-Man 3. When Venom like took over him or whatever. When he's just like a rebel. He has like the hair to the side. Like people are getting super creative with like these unboxing videos. So I would encourage anyone watching as well. Like, whoever supports your toy or your brand, even if 5 people buy your toy, reach out to them and be like, hey man, can you post us on your story? Can you make an unboxing video? And that goes a long way, bro. And that's gone a long way for us. Like I said, all these people posting content around our toy has started to help us grow. I think we just hit 16,000 on Instagram and we hit like 23,000 on TikTok. That's a huge part that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to toy collecting is like the marketing behind it, the content creation. That is so important. I'm a new guy on the scene, but I hope that I'm able to inspire and help even people who've been in this scene for years. Like I've gotten DMs from actual like toy designers that are well known and they're like, dude, you're killing it. Like you're bringing like a fresh air into the scene. You're young and it's really cool to see what you're doing. And I'm also introducing toys to a whole new audience. You know, the gaming community obviously knows what toys are, but I do feel like I'm being a catalyst for the toy community and kind of helping push it forward, bro. Like it sounds funny, but I want to make toys cool again and not just make it like a small niche thing. I want, you know, everybody who has anything to do with toys to succeed. Including this podcast or just small toy brands. Like that's one of my goals joining it. So anyways, what I was saying was since social medias for Cracks Toys are going so crazy right now and just kind of on an incline, I had to rev everything up. And the number one thing that people are complaining is there's no stock, which is a great problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I'm very grateful, but at one point, I caught myself like, oh my God, like we got to hurry up. So right now we have around, 7 to 10 designs currently in production. And you could do the math. That is a lot of investment that we've done. It is very expensive. But like I said, like I think to be able to make it in this industry, you got to really believe in yourself and take these risks. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm every single dollar that I've made on my first two drops was reinvested into our future drops. I didn't keep any of it. Thankfully, I'm blessed enough to do content for movies and gaming on the side that have nothing to do with toys. And that's my full-time income. I make full-time. My full-time job is to make content. Cracks Toys is a passion project for me. So thankfully, I told myself I'm not going to touch a dollar from what it makes. And just reinvest it all and see what we can build from it. But to your question, what are we working on? So right now, I'll be honest, we had an original plan. We were going to drop a toy this month, and we got delayed. Now, unfortunately, it got delayed because we received the sample. The sizing was off. Again, I don't know what's going on with me and resin, man, but every time I go the resin route, the sample comes broken. And I'm so unlucky with resin. But we're working on that's a leak. We're working on a resin toy. Now, I love resin when it's done well. And this toy has to be resin. So that's another, it has to be. Can't be vinyl. So that's also another leak. And I'll say this, this is a huge leak. Basically, a lot of people have asked for me to bring back the OG cracks. Like, when I say, like, thousands of people have DM'd us, like, can you please bring it back? Because since our, again, when this toy sold out, we had 300 followers. You could do the math. We have 23,000, 16,000. There's a lot of people that have been introduced to the brand, and they say, are you ever bringing this back? No, we are not bringing this colorway back. This is for the first people who ever supported it, and we're not going to bring it back on this design. But this is a crazy leak. We are bringing back this design, like the silhouette of it, the same, you know, shape and the same, but we're changing it. We're actually creating a blind box with this toy.
That size?
That size.
Holy geez.
We're going to be the world's first 10-inch vinyl blind box. Crazy leak. So yeah, that's creating a blind box.
That's wild. That, like, I think for those listen, like, people don't understand what goes into blind boxes. You got to buy massive quantities. Yeah. You got to, like, design all the different ones. You got to have a factory that can do not only that, but packaging. It's like, it's insane. And then you got chase figures. You got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Thankfully. So I agree. So to do a mystery box or a blind box, we're taking it a different route. It's going to be the same design, different colors.
Okay.
So that saves a couple dollars because we don't have to create the different poses and different stuff like that. Definitely in the future, we want to do something like that. But like you said, the only way for it to even be profitable, you have to make 10,000 toys, right? When I say the mini blind boxes that we all see that are going viral as well, bro, they make hundreds of thousands of these. That's why they're able to price it at that point. Definitely not. I'm not going to make 10,000. I know, that's crazy. It's going to be very limited, but there's going to be 6 different versions of him, complete different colors. There's 3 rarity levels. We have rare, ultra rare, and hyper rare. The hyper rare is the rarest one. I won't leak that. Well, how it looks, but the ultra rare is so cool because it's the first ever cracks that isn't white. Like, his head is white. The ultra rare one is not. So that's exciting. And then the 4 other ones are still his iconic face. They just have a different colorway on their fits. We decided to do this because we wanted to bring back the OG design since so many people asked for it, but I didn't want to, like, do a restock of the original colorway. So I thought it's a very unique way to bring back a design and market it in a fun way. Like, it's a blind box, and people are going to unboxing it, hoping that they get a certain color. And yeah, we'll see how it goes, man. I'm excited for it. Not confirmed that this is exactly our next drop, but it's in the works. The packaging is so sick. Funny enough, I have my Google Drive open. I'm literally looking at the packaging. It's so fire. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I guess future drop. Like, future, man. All right, I'll say this. We have a future drop coming themed around a movie coming out in July.
That means you've timed it out and looked far enough in advance to, like, have it align with that. Yeah?
Yeah, we're dropping it in July based off of a movie that's dropping.
Okay. Yeah. That's dope.
I gave you some good leaks, bro.
That's so sick, dude. I it's like to have you come on and talk toys and, like, talk the toy world, because it's the toy world is so vast.
Yes.
So much that goes into it. Like, we've talked about two materials that toys can be made of. I know an artist that makes them out of porcelain. I know artists that make them out of like normal ABS, like PVC stuff. So like, dude, you're crushing it.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. Absolutely crushing it. I know that we are on a little bit of a time crunch. So let's close this bad boy out. And like, thank you again for coming on the podcast.
Of course, brother. Thank you for having me. Like I said, first ever Cracks Toys. It was an honor to talk toys with you. Hopefully I could come back on, you know, who knows, maybe a year from now, and stuff will look differently. Hopefully the blind box went crazy and all of our future drops, and hopefully Disney didn't kill me.
They're a fiery brand.